Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. Adam Kaplan joining us right now to talk some NFL football here on ESPN 97.5. Adam, welcome in. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you. It's been a long time since, I guess, the three of us have been together. I can't even remember what century that was. What was it?
I mean, it was six, seven years ago. Yeah,
yeah, but it just seems like it was. Yeah. Since then, now, some teams have really turned it around, including the Rams.
Yes. How about that, folks?
I'm in. How about them just walking in and slapping that? Rank the NFC teams right now.
Well, I was at that game in Los Angeles last week. The Rams hosted the Eagles, probably one of the better regular season games I've seen. And the reason why I would have the Rams, when you look at the NFC, as being one of the top two teams is simply because of the way that they're coached. The job that Sean McVay, the head coach, has done with the quarterback Jared Goff, and everyone wanted to run Goff out of Los Angeles last season, but it's all about coaching. You had a guy in Rob Boras who had not called plays before. He was the OC. That was a mistake by Jeff Fisher. Sean McVay, this dynamic head coach, who's a tremendous play caller, called the play for the Redskins last season. He comes in. He gets Jared Goff going on the right path. Wade Phillips runs the defense. He's done a phenomenal job there. And you have this magic. You know, guys, here's the thing. In the National Football League, yeah, you have to have talent to win. Coaching matters. And we're seeing that now. If you look at Philly, who I have is the best team in the National Football League right now, and the Rams is my number two team in the NFC, it's simply because of coaching, quarterbacks, and talent. I think you mesh the three of them, and there you go.
I got to say, Wade Phillips, every single year now, his second year is always, for whatever reason, his defenses aren't quite as effective. The first year he steps into a job, his defenses dominate. But when you look at the Rams and look at all the talent that they have up front, they've had talent defensively, Adam. You know this for a few years now. He's really getting the most of that talent. You get a quarterback who's feeling himself now in Goff. You get Gurley, who I think the one area that they didn't mention with the Rams, and I think this is an interesting point, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Rams, Saints. It's a little wide open over there, but I think Andrew Whitworth, the addition of Andrew Whitworth to that offensive line has made a massive difference.
Yeah, and what they did was they made a decision to keep Roger Saffold at guard and not move him to right tackle. They decided to keep Jamon Brown in the starting lineup. Havenstein, the right tackle, is back, who's way better than people understand. Remember, when he was drafted the second round, people were like throwing like books at TVs. Like, they didn't understand why was he overdrafted. Now you're seeing with better coaching how well he's played in the transactions, bringing the two Bills receivers, Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods. That's done wonders. And the play calling of Sean McVay for Todd Gurley. You know, people were running Todd Gurley out of town last season. They were wondering what's wrong with him. Well, there's nothing wrong. It was the coach. It was horrendous. So you get a great scheme, you get a great play caller, and you have success.
Yeah, and they were running Goff out. It was a wasted draft pick. Right. They were going to have to draft another quarterback. But, yeah, that coaching seems to be made a huge difference. But I will say this. I honestly, if the Falcons made another run, if Carolina gets there, if the Vikings get there, if Philly gets there with Knowles, if the Rams get there, I won't be surprised by any NFC team.
You know, it's, John, funny you mentioned this. It's been probably 10 years or so where the NFC has been much stronger than the AFC. I mean, you mentioned the Eagles, the Vikings, the Rams, the Saints. Folks, remember the Saints when they got smoked at home against the Patriots? There were rumors again, does Sean Payton want to get out? What's wrong with the defense? Why can't they get the defense right? All these bad draft picks. They got to turn around. You mentioned the Panthers. The Eagles go on there on a Thursday night on a sure week and beat them. People are wondering about the Panthers. Now, the Falcons, the problem there is you've got the change in coordinators. Kyle Shanahan is now the Niners head coach. Steve Sarkisian had never been a coordinator in the National Football League. He only had worked 1 year in the National Football League as a quarterback's coach of the Raiders. It has not been as good. The lack of explosive plays, I think that's the problem there. I don't think their defense is as good as last season. I don't think they get there. I even if they make the playoffs as a wild card, I don't think they get there. Then you have the Panthers ownership situation. You're just hoping for the players and coaches they could keep that out of their minds and just practice and play well. But this NFC, folks, I mean, 1-6, they're probably going to be two teams that feel like they should have gotten in, but but are probably not going to get in.
It's good. It's good in the NFC. John and I were talking about, you know, it's hard looking at – no one has given – I feel like no one's really buying all the way into Minnesota yet. And I'm guessing it's because of Case Keenum. But what I don't know what you want them to do. The defense is really good. Case Keenum, they don't have a great offensive line. They don't have great rushing attack. But why does it feel that way to you, Adam, that this is just Philadelphia and the Rams and the Saints and even people talking about the Atlanta Falcons? But it's like the Vikings, for whatever reason, they're just in cruise control under the radar.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because when you talk to people around the league, when they a lot of them are like kind of shocked at how well Keenum has played. But this is what I'd said earlier here. When you marriage the coaching from Pat Shurmur, who's a veteran offensive coordinator running his West Coast system, with a quarterback who's played in the West Coast before under Gary Kubiak, who understands the offense, and you have a running game with Latavius Murray, who's never played this well, by the way. Remember, he wasn't even supposed to be the starter. What happened was is their first-round pick, the running back who tore his ACL.
Delvin Cook, second-round pick.
He was second-round pick out of Florida State. When Cook got hurt, people were like, well, he was so dynamic, they'll never get back the running game. Well, Jerick McKinnon's been the change-up. It's worked. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, maybe one of the NFL's top three receivers that no one seems to know about. Kyle Rudolph is having a career year. They're right there. I think absolutely they could go into Philly if they have to and beat Philly. Philly right now without Carson Wentz, and I'll give them credit. Nick Foles played very well yesterday. He had four touchdowns. But Carson Wentz, I mean, folks, let's face it, he might have been the NFL's MVP before he got hurt.
It's Adam Kaplan with us here on ESPN 97.5. Marvin Lewis says, adios, I am gone. Probably be 7-8.
Is contract over, though?
Yeah.
It is, but I love how he denies that he's talked to people and leaked it out. I mean, it is what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah. So we were talking about this on Friday. I think there will be 8, maybe more coaching openings. If Bill O'Brien leaves here, does he get a job right away?
Bill O'Brien's a highly respected coach. I think the thing is that there are always these rumors, and there were significant rumors last year around this time that Bill was going to go. And I know there were teams certainly interested in Bill if he wants to go. And then you know there will be, and I do believe they would look for an offensive-minded head coach. And I think in Philly, the quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo, who was the Browns OC 2 years ago, he's probably going to be the hottest name for offensive. The coaches from the offensive side, he is going to be the guy. Trust me on this one. He is the reason. He is the number one reason Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before he got hurt.
John DeFilippo.
Yes, he was the Browns OC 2 years ago, and then Jeff Fisher declined to hire him. He actually interviewed him to be their pass game coordinator. And that was probably one of the Jets' biggest mistakes because, as you saw last year, it did not work out with their play calling.
How do you look at the Texans? How do you assess the Texans? So, on one hand, no Whitney Merciless. I'm not going to keep saying no J.J. Watt because who knows what J.J. can even do. We really haven't even seen that version of J.J. since he was running the ball down around the goal line with a screwed up groin for whatever reason was the running back. So, here's my question for you. What do you do with the Texans? Because we saw the potential with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, it's incredible.
Early in the season, but this offensive line stinks. There's nothing that's going to change about that.
Yeah, but he made them look serviceable.
I'll tell you what. You got to get better. And you know, I have no first or second round pick either, Kaplan.
Well, here's the problem. Now, if you're a head coach, knowing a head coaching candidate, if Bill decides to leave or something happens and you're a head coaching candidate, you know the quarterback is coming back from a torn ACL. You don't know quite exactly when he's going to be ready. And then you mentioned the offensive line. The offensive line has never been good, but Nick Martin's a good player. Jeff Allen's okay at guard. And playing him at left tackle, I know there's no one left because everybody's hurt. Right tackle is something that's got to be developed. The running game has not been what they thought it would be. And then defensively, I mean, it's been like a mash unit. You mentioned Watt and Merciless. They've been going through a bunch of inside linebackers that they didn't expect to have to play. And then cornerback-wise, Jonathan Joseph is getting up there. Kevin Johnson's been sort of up and down. He's talented. You have to figure out what Kareem Jackson's role is going to be. The safety position, they're not getting the big plays that they're expecting. And I think they have to take a hard look at the defense going on. But Bill O'Brien's done a phenomenal job of play calling. Deshaun Watson, before he got hurt, I mean, he was way better than people expected him to be. And I think a lot of it is the way that Bill O'Brien set everyone up. And the one thing, though, you look at that receiver position with Hopkins and Fuller, and they're really good there. But tight end, they're going to have to take a deep look at it. With Fedorowicz's concussions, I think they've got to get a little bit younger there and more dynamic. So I think I think Rick Smith has got a lot of work to do this offseason.
That's an understatement.
Do you think Bill O'Brien survives?
Well, here's the thing. You can't – when you say survive, I mean, you have to define that. I can't see any way that they would part ways with him. I think it would have to be a mutual thing. I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, the offense was – I mean, it was incredible. And talking to people, watch their tape, it was Bill O'Brien with making it as easy as he could for Watson to be successful. And Watson's so smart and mature – he handled the volume that they gave him, and he did a great job. But, you know, he's coming off a significant injury. The Eagles are dealing with the same thing with Carson Wentz coming off the ACL. So I think it's a team that it clearly came up short, but it's mostly due to injury.
A buddy of ours just tweeted out, no matter how you look at it, the Texans are 19th out of 32 teams record-wise since Rick Smith took over. 19th. And he's been here since 2006. This is 11 years now, and they're 19th in the league record-wise. How much more do you have to put up with before you say, we got to make a change?
Well, John, I think there are a couple things here. We know that they've kind of denied it, but it's not a secret. I mean, there had been friction with the general manager and the head coach for years, you know, really since day one, and they've learned to coexist. But the bigger picture is, as you just mentioned, why have they not been highly successful despite some good drafts? Not great, but some good drafts and some pretty good draft picks. It's kind of puzzling. I think that also the owner's relationship with the general manager is not a secret. That they've had this strong relationship. I don't see a change being made there. I think it's just that they're going to have to figure out what it takes to get to the next level. I think, unfortunately, they're going to have to figure out the backup quarterback situation. We didn't mention that, but that. That's something. Tom Savage has been kind of up and down. He's a free agent, as we know. So they're going to have to take a look at that. And we need to take a look at the J.J. Watt situation. I mean, it's kind of to the point. It's a shame J.J.'s been such a dynamic player. I'm not saying they have to replace him, but they can no longer rely on him. And it's quite frankly, I would look to draft a defensive lineman very early in this draft. They can no longer rely on JJ to be healthy.
Man, they don't have a first or second rounder, and they've got to have a left tackle.
You know what?
They've got to have a right tackle.
You're either going to have to get one in free agency, or you're going to have to get some draft picks because this is. And I know they made the trade to move up to get the quarterback, but the fact of the matter is they're going to have to get some draft picks. Because right now, if you look at all the players who are coming off a significant injury, Watt and Watson obviously are chief among them. But you look at Merciless' situation, their offensive line needs to be fortified. They're an okay cap situation. Not great, but they're going to be okay. Tight end, as we said, the problem is they pay Ryan Griffin. He's been hurt a lot. Very athletic, but he's been hurt. Covington got hurt. Foreman looked great. That looked like they hit a home run there. He got hurt. I mean, at some point, you got to keep guys on the field, and that's another thing that Rick Smith has got to look at.
Yeah.
They got a long way to go. There's some really good things, but there's some also things that aren't going to get fixed in the year, and we'll see how they handle it. But the JJ stuff you just talked about, that's the scariest thing, is realizing you can't just assume he's back.
Great, totally.
At 100%.
Totally. And
you can't.
With his cap number and his situation, he's getting up there, it's – You're not going to move on, but you simply have to just assume that he's not going to play a full season anymore, based on this all of the surgeries that he's had, upper and lower body, shoulder, groin. It's to the point where you just don't know when he's going to play, and it does absolutely impact their defense not having him.
Yep. All right, we're out of time, Adam. Man, we appreciate you joining us. Great to hear from you again. Hopefully, we do this again soon,
guys. Thank you,
Adam Kaplan, with us right here on ESPN 97.5.